Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Should be joined any minute now by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, as well as GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com's Larry Goodman. Tonight we're going to be talking to four of the Georgia's top referees and the guys that kind of get overlooked a lot of the time, which means they're doing their job, I guess, if you don't notice them. But, hey, Matt, is that you?
It is me.
Hey, man.
This McMahon time is killing me.
So, Larry Goodman's supposed to be calling tonight as well, but I guess he might be waiting until we get to the referees part of the show. But I guess in the meantime, we've got a lot to talk about. This weekend was, for me, I did not intend on going to a lot of wrestling shows at all. And I ended up going to Matt Sell's stand-up comedy show and four other wrestling shows within 3 days.
Well, that's a light weekend.
But I know you went to some shows as well, and I don't really know where to start, I guess. One of the big things that came out of the weekend was TNA was obviously here in Dalton on Thursday, in Atlanta on Friday, and in Gainesville on Saturday. And I went to the Friday and Saturday shows, and Saturday they did the gut check thing during the day. And then they had a match to start off that show that night between two of the guys that I guess were sort of made the cut or stood out a little bit amongst the 30 or so people. And so the first match of the night on Saturday was Bent and Slim J, and that was a good match. And then I understand Slim J went straight over to Anarchy from there and had a match there as well.
Not a shocker out of that bunch. They really like to wrestle. You'd have to kill Slim J to keep him out of a ring. I've seen him beat up, banged up, and still be in there throwing hands. So I'm not surprised with that.
Yeah. And I think Larry's with us now. Is that you, Larry?
It is me.
Larry, so you only made it to the Anarchy show, right, this weekend?
Yeah, I took it easy this weekend. I didn't do the Jonathan Williams marathon thing. I just went to one show.
Jonathan went on the Iditarod of wrestling.
My hat's off to you, dude, man. That's a lot of moving around in one weekend for pro wrestling, for the cause.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I went to another show on Saturday that was not really a wrestling show. It was at the Sweetwater Brewery, and PCW did some matches there. They were Lucha Libre style matches, though. So they and it rained, so the ring was soaking wet. But it was the event was called the Low Rye, R-Y-E-D-E-R, Low Rider Launch Party for some new flavor of beer that they have. But they had Lowrider cars and Lucha Libre wrestling, and I think that it was a crowd that wouldn't normally see that kind of thing, but they all seemed to really enjoy it. It was Pandora wearing a luchador mask against Nina Monet in the first match, and then the second match was De La Vega wearing a mask with Supernatural against the Washington Bullets, and then the Bullets, I understand, went straight up to DSCW to wrestle as well. So they, just like Slim J, were busy on Saturday, and as was I.
It's that kind of weekend. You had to be everywhere.
Or so, Jonathan, what was your favorite of the matches of the weekend? What stood out for you of all the things you saw?
Well, let's see. I'll try to just pull something from each show. Rampage was a good show. They started the Peach division, I think they're calling it. It's a women's division. So we saw Tracy Taylor and Pandora. But I think the biggest surprise of the show was at the very end when the BFFs finally found out who's been sending them these gifts over the past few weeks, and it was none other than the exotic ones. There are two versions of the exotic ones running around right now. This was the Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much version, and they came out and at the end of the show and attacked the BFFs, and it was kind of a weird ending, wasn't it, Matt? I mean, it took a little while.
The beatdown was a lot longer than you would expect. It was long enough that you expected, all right, something else is happening, and then that thing didn't happen, and then that was a really long beating. It was a good beating. Don't get me wrong. It was a good beating. But it went on for so long that you're like, I think they're either going to kill him or somebody's going to bust us up, and luckily neither happened.
Yeah, and with the, like I said, there's the Rick Michaels Stony Hooker version of the exotic one, so I wondered if they were going to run out too, but we never saw them. But as far as the other shows, the TNA show on Friday was, from what I read, I didn't go to the Dalton show, but it sounded like pretty much the same show with a few additional matches, including Austin Aries and Christopher Daniels in the main event, which was a great match, as you might imagine. We also saw AJ Styles and Crimson, which was a good match. And then both the shows I went to, Mickie James and Brooke Tessmacher wrestled, and those were surprisingly good, to say that you wouldn't expect them to be good, but they stood out amongst, really good cards that were already put in place. The women really, really showed what they can do both nights.
That's interesting because Scott Hensley, in his review of the Dolan show, he really ripped the women's match.
Really?
He said it was
bad.
Well,
I didn't see that one, but...
Yeah. But he didn't really care for the Dolan show as a whole. He just thought it was, pretty bare bones. And I know that it being Thursday night, they didn't have their full crew there, but he just... Yeah. Well, anyway, you can read it online. He did not have a lot of positive things to say. Except that it was very well marketed.
Well, that's always
that.
TNA.
Yeah.
even without Don West, they still have the marketing machine going. I did not pay $20 to get my picture with Austin Aries.
Oh, come on, man. We needed that.
Hey, but how disappointed were you guys about Honey Boo Boo not being at Rampage?
You don't even know, Larry. You don't even know. It was, oh, God. I had to spend so much more money in that place because she wasn't there because I felt so awful for my poor child. But I was smart enough to know that this is wrestling. I'm not going to breathe a word of this to her. And she did not find out until she saw the sign that said she wasn't going to be there. So disappointment was tempered. But, oh, it crushed my soul.
Yeah, I can't say I was all that disappointed. I wasn't surprised because I wondered if that was actually going to happen. But another thing that I'd like to mention about the TNA shows is Zema Ion. He's the X Division champion right now, and he honestly didn't do much for me when I first started seeing him in TNA. But I think that was because he was too busy doing flips and all these different spots and showing off. And I think he's gotten a lot more comfortable slowing it down and, having a few of those moments, but also play into the crowd and spraying his hair and trying to piss off the rednecks that think he's gay and all that kind of stuff. And his matches were great. He wrestled Sanjay Dutt both of those shows, which was a preview of their pay-per-view match last night. And I don't know if either of you caught any of the pay-per-view. I got maybe an hour of it, and I thought it was pretty good too.
I did not see any of it. I read the reviews today, and I thought they made some interesting choices, or at least, I guess Hardy, ultimately going over was sort of whatever I expected, but the way they got there I thought was really neat, and kind of keeping Bully Ray around to matter a little bit seems to be a good idea, but I did not see any of it.
Me neither. I missed it.
Well, AJ also got his lip busted in his hometown on Saturday in the main event. It was him, Christopher Daniels, and... Austin Aries again. and he got kicked in the face one good time, and I saw the blood fly through the air, and then I saw him tweeting pictures of the stitches in his lip and everything. So, but at least he got to sleep in his own bed, I guess.
Larry, you were at Anarchy, right?
I was.
Was there some big storyline advancement? I heard rumblings of something, and then we were trying to piece it together. Did something out of the ordinary go on?
You mean in the ring or backstage?
In the ring. I'm in the ring.
Well, I mean, it was really fun. The main thing was the Murphy and Gunner reunion.
Okay.
In the eight-man tag with Gunner coming out as the surprise fourth tag partner in the eight-man main event. And that was really fun to see. And, boy, did Jagged – I forgot to ask Jagged Edge about this, but, man, did he take a clothesline over the top rope from those two behemoths. They charged at him full speed and sent him spinning. I'm sure he didn't know which end was up. That was one hell. Can you imagine those two guys hitting you with a clothesline over the top rope? That was the spot of the night for me. But so that was really fun to see those two guys teaming up again. And of course, the crowd was nuts for Gunner.
Maybe that's the thing that they were trying to tell us about, and they couldn't quite get the wording right.
Yeah, but as far as any like major shakeup storylines in the where the Anarchy storylines are going, no, there really wasn't.
Okay, all right. I think that's what somebody was trying to tell us about, to quite get it together.
Well, I guess we can go ahead and bring on these referees that we got lined up for tonight. Larry, this was kind of your idea, so I don't know if you want to fill people in on why you wanted to do this all referee show or anything. I think it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
for sure.
despite what Murder One said, I think it is going to be interesting. I mean, referees don't, you know, are sort of unsung heroes. It's sort of a thankless job, and I'm just real curious about to hear from all of these guys who are, you know, I would consider them to be among certainly the best referees in the state. Several have been either nominated or won awards in that area, and just to hear their thoughts on refereeing is something I've been real curious to hear, so hopefully we can do that tonight.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and I think they're all here, so let me bring them all on. All right, I think we've got everybody here. So we have Dee Byers, who referees pretty much everywhere, NWA Anarchy, Rampage, Pro Wrestling Resurrection. Am I leaving any out, Dee?
APW.
All right. Yes.
APW, North Georgia.
And then, let's see, I'm trying to remember who all we have.
We have the undefeated Duke Corey, I assume.
The one
he is
beaten twice shy, Duke Corey.
Yeah.
Yes, I was defeated by nauseousism, so I no longer can be called undefeated.
Oh, that's right.
But that is that's something interesting that's happened with you just in the past couple weeks, is you actually wrestled a match against a guy with his leg tied behind his back, right?
Yep, that is correct.
And it was
and
so
Duke,
much
of
better
course,
than anybody could have thought it would be. Oh, good.
Yeah, on paper it was kind of like, what are we doing here? But that was kind of the brainchild of nauseousism. He said, you know, he wanted to do a wrestler versus referee. I'm sure it's been done before, but it's not done very often. And he also came up with the idea of the one leg to kind of even it up, which made it kind of interesting, I think.
It certainly did.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't there. I was—I believe that was Dragon Con weekend, so I missed it. But I have seen the pictures and heard the stories. Let's see, who else we have? We have referee Dustin Robinson, who I believe works Rampage, and I'm not sure Anarchy, and I'm not sure where else. But I believe
mostly
you were
just,
the
mostly just Rampage.
Just Rampage.
Haven't made it Anarchy yet.
Oh, okay. And you're the referee of the year for last year?
Yes, that would be me.
Okay.
I hope so, at least.
Reigning and defending.
Yes.
Unless somebody lied to me.
And then, last but not least, we have Ken Wallace, I believe. Are you here, Ken?
Yes, sir, I am.
And where do we see you usually refereeing?
Usually NWA Anarchy or anyone else unfortunate enough to have me around for a while.
One thing I'm curious about for all four of you is I know wrestlers typically get paid little, if anything, and they travel all over the state, sometimes, farther than that. But for them, there's hopefully eventually a payoff that they'll get signed to a bigger company or at least start making enough money wrestling enough places that they can kind of supplement their regular income or something like that. But I don't think referees really have – there's not as much promise there for referees yet. I see you guys – and all over the state refereeing and sometimes several times a week. So what is the motivation there? What keeps you guys doing it? We'll start with D. Byers.
Okay. I was waiting for some kind of uniformed response on who wanted to go first on that instead of everyone talking at once.
Yeah, we didn't do a coin toss or anything before the show, so
yeah, we had a four-way coin toss.
My motivation is basically I enjoy doing it. I guess I'm in such a routine of doing it that, I started out with NFWA 6 years ago, and that really got me going on it. And then after they went on their first hiatus, I found that I had to go out and find another company to work for. Eventually, I hooked up with APW, and I worked there every Friday night. And eventually that wasn't good enough, so I started filling up my Saturdays. And now I'm doing it on just about every Sunday, too. So I just basically really enjoy it. Because you're right, the pay is not really there sometimes.
Is it ever?
Occasionally. Occasionally. Very rarely, but occasionally.
Sometimes all there's right, two hot dog coupons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's always the free food. Yeah.
That is true. Johnny G's does a great job with the free food.
Absolutely, the pizza. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Duke, Corey, you, as far as I know, you only referee for Empire/PCW. I know you've done a little bit of other stuff here and there, but I think for the most part it's just there, right?
Yeah, I've done a couple shows here and there outside of that over the years, but usually, and that's mainly just my schedule. Like my quote unquote real job, I usually has me tied up on Saturdays, and that's when most people run shows. So PCW/Empire has been doing Fridays. Of course, they do Saturdays twice a month as well, and I've done only about one of those, and I'll be doing the one at the end of September. But yeah, it's kind of worked out good that I can do Fridays. And we used to do Masquerade show here and there, and we used to do them over at the Jungle a year or so ago. I'm trying to do one, possibly do some Sundays. I know some places do Sunday shows, but my Saturdays are usually tied up with other stuff, so I can't do it. Because, like you mentioned, we don't really do it for the money, so I have to do other things to make money. Wish I could make enough money reffing that that's all I could do on weekends, but... But you mentioned, aspirations to, do it as a career or whatever. And speaking for myself, I don't realistically see that ever happening, but I don't think any of us would turn down the opportunity if, TNA or WWE Scout or Ring of Honor, saw us and, said, hey, you want to work a show or something? I would definitely jump at the chance. But at the same time, I don't expect that to happen, especially the older I get. I'm 39 now, and they're probably looking for, young bucks. People always bring up, Earl Hebner's, in his 60s. Yeah, but Earl Hebner's been doing it since, the 70s. They're not going to hire somebody, he's already had the reputation. They're not going to hire somebody brand spanking new that's, north of 40 probably. They want, young guys that can you know, mainly put up with the grueling schedule I'm sure the big leagues have. But and I've even asked, you know, wrestlers, you know, like, well, how do you, you know, how do you get into, you know, becoming a, you know, full-time rep somewhere, or, you know, getting into the bigs? And none of them know. They're like, oh, I know, you know, they have tryouts for wrestlers and all this. And, like, they know the avenues to take for wrestlers, but I never, they never know. Whenever I ask, you know, what about referees, they're like, I don't know. So I found that kind of interesting. There's, you know, always tryouts for, you know, even with gut check or whatever, but I was like, do they ever do that kind of thing for referee? I guess not.
I don't think they have a stripe check. I've never heard of it.
One of the things I've been curious about is, you know, I can understand with a lot of wrestlers, you know, they're in it since they've been into wrestling since they were kids. They always want to be wrestlers. But, like, it's hard to imagine guys saying, boy, I really want to be a referee. Like, how do you decide you want to be a referee? What attracts you to being a referee? Yeah, I mean, when you're doing your job well, often you're not even noticed. So what's the appeal?
Well, in my case, I can say when I went to get trained for the very first time, I was 16 years old, and I went into a very rainy, wet ring in Milledgeville, Georgia in February of 01, and I went in the ring and did 50 back bumps and did 50 running bumps, and then they had me kind of ref the way their system worked. They had me referee a match, and I remember when I did that, something in my head just kind of clicked. I just thought it was really, really, really interesting to be in that position because, like you said, Larry, every kid that is a fan, when they grow up, they think, oh, I want to do this. I want to be the guy at WrestleMania. But even when we were just training and I did that referee thing for the first time when I was 16, there was something in my head that just really, really clicked and made me think, wow, this is really cool. And this is not something that a lot of people glamorize, but I could really get into this. And about 2 years later, I did my first show, and it kind of just went on from there. And going back to the previous statement about, you know, why do you guys do this? The pay is not really there. The opportunities aren't there. And that's true. The opportunities and the pay, there are a ceiling. There is a ceiling on what promoters will pay referees. And obviously, you see more wrestlers running around than referees, so there's more opportunities there. But for me, it's just that. I just love being in that position. It's really hard to explain. It's that one night when I was 16, when we did that the first time, it just clicked in my head. It was just a different experience, and I really just sunk my teeth into it.
Was that Dustin talking?
Yes, that was me.
Okay, this is Duke. I think I know, I kind of understand what you're saying. What I tell people is, I have the best seat in the house for the match. You know, if you're refereeing an incredible, you know, I've had the opportunity to do some, you know, David Richards matches, and they're awesome. At the same time, I'm right next, you know, it's the best seat in the house. So, you know, I guess maybe that's it. Like, we all love wrestling, and we, for whatever reason, fell into refereeing, but it's like you get to watch it from actually in the ring, and you're part of the match, and a good referee, can help make a good match just that, you know?
Yes.
I've seen some bad refs, as we probably all have. And,
yeah.
You know, you mess up a finish, and I've seen wrestlers get upset at the referees. And not that I've never messed up a finish, but you certainly aim not to.
Absolutely. And one of the things I'll say, at first I took it as a compliment, but the more and more and more and more I heard it, I took it as kind of it was almost scary the more I was hearing it. In fact, I just heard it this weekend when I did a show in Milledgeville, which Honey Boo Boo was at, by the way. She wasn't at Rampage. She was at the show in Milledgeville. That was fun, but that's another story. But I heard it
again. Was that the scheduling conflict that was on the signs?
I don't think it was, because there were no cameras from TLC there or anything. I don't know what in the world went on there with Rampage. But in terms of what I was saying earlier, I hear this a lot, and I hear it so much now, it's kind of scary. And I heard it from a guy again this weekend. He said, man, it's so nice being in there with a referee that knows what he's doing. And the more and more I hear that, the more and more I think, man, how many bad ones are there out there, you know? It's just wild.
So to that point, one thing that I would add is that, you know, for me, how I fell into refereeing was through a series of shows, doing photography, and of course, a referee wouldn't show up. So one day, you know, Murder One of all people told me to grab a referee shirt. But you go around and they say, hey, you're a good ref. There's just not a huge surplus of good referees, at least in the state of Georgia. And, you know, you go show to show or you work with someone who goes, hey, you're a good ref. You want to come do my show? And it kind of spreads there. So the motivation is just, I guess, if anything, getting your own name out there to keep the habit going, so to speak.
Yep, it really is. And going back to what was said earlier about, you know, having the best seat in the house, he's absolutely right. I remember back when Daniel Bryan was in between stints with WWE and he came to Rampage. I mean, we did that four-way, that 45-minute four-way match, and I've never, at that point and never since, have I ever struggled so hard to remember that I'm a referee and not a fan. Because being in there for almost 45 minutes with Bryan Danielson and Kyle Matthews and J-Rod and Jimmy Rave, that was an incredible experience, and you're right. That was the match that I can really empathize with when you say it's the best seat in the house, because it really is. And that's what made me realize that that job is truly the best seat in the house.
What's the part of the job that, you know, just an onlooker would think is routine that really is a stretch for you to constantly be on top of?
For me...
Yeah. Tags are a big one.
Yes. I'll tell you, this is one that really got me when I started really getting into this. I don't have any trouble with this now, but once I started doing it, I realized how tough it was. It was remembering who the legal men were in the ring during tag matches.
Oh, yeah.
I struggled with that for about the first year or two when I really started getting into this and weren't just doing shows as favors. You know, when I decided I really wanted to get into this and, you know, get kind of paid for it, I was doing tag matches, and I would sit here and think, man, I'm having trouble remembering who's legal, you know. That's the one thing I think fans don't really understand and really underestimate is really hard to do, is remembering who the legal man is sometimes.
That makes sense. I can imagine.
You just hit on one of my pet peeves, which is exactly that. The hot tag is made, and the referee completely loses track, and the illegal pin happens, and he just counts it like it's fine. It's like, okay, you want people to believe this is real, and it's like, oh, we don't care about any rules.
Yeah. And
well,
I got
Larry, in that situation, sometimes, as I explain to people frequently, especially if a tag team match is clustering, it's like I've told one or two guys, we were at the turn, so I counted it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Once they've hit the finish, because once they've hit the finish, if you say, okay, well, you're not supposed to pin him, let me get the other guy, you know, it takes the lead out of your pencil, so to speak.
Yep. Right, right. I mean, it's really the wrestlers to make sure they tag the right guy in.
Right.
Not the ref to make sure the right guy's in.
Exactly.
Don't forget that. Guys, to that point, you know, I think we've all heard the, at least as referees, hey, call it as if it's a real fight. So if
yeah.
you have four guys around you that are getting to a big fight and you're that guy just standing around watching, you know, then it comes to the end of the fight, are you really going to be worried about who's on top of the other?
Right.
Right.
Well,
as Larry will attest to, if you goof that up at Rampage, the fans will let you know, because there are some fans at Rampage that just absolutely are eagle-eyed and hate
yep.
the referees and will
yep.
completely shred them in any way, shape, or form.
Yep.
Even if they're wrong and they think they're right, they'll let you know. So I'm especially sharp there, because they know.
If you do it at Anarchy, Bill Barron's will let you know.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Rampage and tag team rules,
what
are the Rampage tag team rules? I was really confused yesterday.
That would be your category, because you did all the tag matches yesterday.
They want to start doing the lucha style, where you just switch in and out. You know, if one guy leaves the ring, and the other guy can come in if he wants to.
It's essentially Rampage's version of Lucha Libre tag rules.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It seems like the wrestlers are not quite used to it because they still are faking tags and or, you know, all
right.
kinds of things when technically one guy could just run in and save the other guy. And
yeah,
and
that's
still...
why yesterday during the Murder 1 J-Rod Cash Vault tag team match when they would do that and I would basically signal that there had been a tag because given the rules of that, given the rules we were going under, yeah, they had just done a lucha tag. Yeah. And I know that's not what they were going for, but, you know.
You got to do what the
yeah.
rules say.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be fair, I don't know. I can say in my case, we didn't really know that that was going on until when we got to the show.
Yeah.
So we didn't
yeah.
really know that they were converting to that. And I don't even know if it's for every show or if it was just for that one. I'm not even sure. I got the sense that it was going to be an every show thing, but. Not quite
oh.
sure on it.
So it was new to everybody. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Because I thought, you
yeah,
know,
yeah. it was definitely new to me. Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, the guys that didn't want to fool with it, they just didn't fool with it.
Yeah, they just did what they wanted to do. They did what they were used to doing, and, hey, worked.
I'd say out of the three tag matches I did, the BFFs were the only one that actually did, like, what you would really call a lucha tag.
Yeah.
And they only did it once, so there you go.
But I was about to ask the same thing, so I'm so glad that got cleared up. Jonathan and I were like, I don't know what this means. I feel stupid.
Well, I think it would be more fun to watch if the wrestlers, once they're more used to it, I think it'll be better.
Yeah, and I think
I think you'll
see a significant change in the next show now that everybody's aware of the rulings and everything, because that was kind of sprung on everyone at the last second.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't that really come out of like rave approved originally? Was where you started doing those Lucha Libre tag rules matches, and they were the ones who were really good at doing the switching in and out without the tags and really doing it lucha style.
Yeah, and those matches were usually bigger than regular tag matches. They were usually 8-man or 10-man
yeah.
affairs, and they were smooth as silk.
Yeah, because we had a 3-way tag, not this show but last show. And it went. It was like the first lucha tag match I'd ever really done, but it went very smoothly. So yeah, I'd say that's one of those weird situations where actually the more tag teams you have in a situation, the better it goes. Because usually the reverse is true.
Mhm. Mhm.
Is there any match that when you see it on the card, more like a specialty match, a gimmick style match, when you see it on the card, you're like, oh no, we got to do one of these. Is there anything you're just constantly worried about when it comes up?
I know. So, I'd have to say maybe like a falls count anywhere because you don't know where they're going to go, what they're going to do, you know, or they might be start fighting within the crowd, and that makes me nervous. And, you know, too close to the fans because the fan safety or an overzealous fan getting involved, and I guess you know we almost become referees / security, you know, like sometimes hold the fans back. So if I see something like that. 9 times out of 10, nothing happens, but you say to yourself, well, if something crazy is going to happen, it could be during one of these.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would say, Duke, you would have to be particularly concerned given at the academy, the way that space is, good grief. I mean, it's an accident waiting to happen. You got no room at all between the wrestlers and the fans.
Indeed.
And those terrible people in the front row.
Yeah.
They usually have the biggest mouths, but they don't get physical. They don't, you know, I don't think they're going to throw something, unless it's powder at a Vandal. Haven't seen Vandal in a while. I don't know where he went.
Hey, this is a complete aside, but, you know, Vandal out at Anarchy, it's just not the same. Without the hair and him being a baby face, it is just not the same. He's really, it's just, he needs the old gimmick back. That's
oh, he's working baby? I can't even...
He did the last time. Yeah, it's just not working. But that's just me.
Oh, I had an answer to the question earlier about hard for us to I forgot the exact question. But I agree that tag team matches can be a cluster. But the one thing that I don't think fans really appreciate is, you know, to break kayfabe, that there's a lot of things that we aren't supposed to see. You know what I'm saying? Like, we miss a lot of stuff, but I guess it's like the balance of missing what you're supposed to miss and catching people in And, you know, like, you know, if there's outside interference, but the ref isn't supposed to see it, but we are aware that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that making sense? You know,
yeah.
Something like, oh.
Position so that it can happen, yeah.
Yeah, or just like,
yeah.
You know, at the beginning, you're tempted to look. You're like, he's going to hit the guy with a cane, you know, and like at the corner of your eye, you kind of want to see it because, again, you know, you have the best seat in the house, but you're not supposed to see it. So you have to, like, force yourself to, you know, turn your back at the right moment. A lot of it's timing. And I think, you know, and the fans get onto us when we miss something, but if it's something we're supposed to miss, it's almost a compliment, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have you ever been so in the moment, especially like you mentioned that big four-man, 45-minute match, where you know there's something coming that you're supposed to miss, and you just get wrapped up in it, and then the fans start pointing and yelling. Have you ever been tempted to just, like, look around to see what's going on?
That's why you have it happen in a place with the TV and the camera out in the crowd so you can see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that
like Anarchy.
Anarchy and Rampage both. I generally do that. If there's something I'm not supposed to see, I'll watch it. I'll watch it on the monitor till it's over with.
And what's funny is that at Rampage, I'll always forget that TV's there until what's going on is going on, and then it'll be like, hey, you know, there it is.
Okay.
I don't have to depend on anyone else to tell me what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And Duke has the luxury of tons of mirrors. At any point, you're white, you're living in a mirror, so you're good, too.
Oh, yeah, well, they were for a while, they were covering them, and then there's that one side they stopped covering, which is sometimes good, sometimes bad.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think Duke has the luxury of the in-house commentary that lets him know when folks are doing stuff behind his back.
Oh, that's the best. That really is the best.
And, oh, my God, he's hitting him with a hammer. Why isn't Duke Corey looking?
So you're not only supposed to be blind, you're supposed to be deaf as well.
Deaf
as well.
The crowd's so loud, I can't hear that. What the heck?
AKA the perfect referee.
We recently did shows in Albany and the shows that Jake Slater was a part of, and we would have this dude do an in-house commentary, and it's the first time it was the first time I've ever worked with anybody that did in-house commentary. But at the same time, he wouldn't even act like he was seeing anything that was going on. It just felt ridiculous. So the in-house commentary, I don't think we'll ever get used to that.
Oh, yeah.
But it is what
it is. Duke, you have a lot of your situation is unique for a lot of reasons. For, you know, we've talked about some of them, but there's also a lot of just oddball gimmick matches that happen in PCW. How do you prepare for those kind of things that, you know, most referees don't ever have to deal with? I'm trying to think of one now, like the Gorilla Rules or something like that.
Oh, yeah, we haven't done Gorilla Rules in a while, and I, off the top of my head, couldn't even tell you what the Gorilla Rules are. But, yeah, it was almost kind of like the Lucha Libre where... No, it wasn't like that. It was like you kind
of
pull someone out
like
of the ring onto the floor. You couldn't go back into the ring until someone else got eliminated or something, thrown out of the ring. It was like a tag match mixed with a mashed up with a battle royal and mashed up with something else, which, we only did a couple of those, which I guess I'm glad.
Well, it was actually kind of a fucked up concept, if you ask me, but...
Well, that was just one example. I mean, Platinum tends to do a lot of experimental kind of approaches to things just to see how they work, and I'm curious how it is to be the referee to make sure that the order is kept as best as possible in those.
You know, it's kind of like what the other guys were saying about, you know, the first night of trying out the Lucha Libre rules. Sometimes the wrestlers are unsure of the rules, so it's kind of like, if we're not all on the same page, it could turn to a cluster. So sometimes it's almost reminding them throughout the match, hey, you know, you can't do that. You know, literally enforcing the rules, because they may have forgotten the rules if we have, like, specific rules for a specific match. on top of that, there's been plenty of nights where I'm the only ref, so I'll have, you know, eight finishes to remember, plus, you know, if we have some specific rules for a match. I just kind of try to go with the flow and make sense of it and, you know, hopefully not screw anything up.
You'll certainly know about it if you do. Yeah. That goes without saying that. You're going to hear about it for hours or months, as it were.
Yep.
You know, I know all of you guys have been involved in all kinds of strange, weird situations in the ring. Could you talk a little bit about what stands out in your mind as among the stranger or weirdest things that happened unexpectedly when you were refereeing a match?
The thing that really I'm always on guard for, probably not so much, you know, strange or odd occurrences, but they're odd for us in the ring, is when somebody gets hurt and you have mm-hmm. to call another finish, or you have to speed things up, or you have to get guys going where they're going to go when somebody gets hurt. It's especially stressful on a television environment when you're trying to do everything so specifically and somebody gets hurt. For me, it's situations like that that are always really off-putting for me. But aside from that, thankfully, I've never really had a scenario that I can really think back and say, my gosh, that was out of whack. But for me, it's always the worry and how to react when somebody gets hurt.
The weirdest thing I've ever had happen was up in Franklin, North Carolina. I was working for does anybody here know Bobby Horn?
Yeah.
It was a show he was running in Franklin. And like not only did his building not have guardrails, but like the seats, they had the front row of seats, like, I guess, about a foot and a half away from the ring. So there was one show, I was out there, and so this guy in a wheelchair, in the most powered wheelchair, he starts headed toward, like, the heel manager, and I had to jump out and stop him from running over the heel manager with his powered wheelchair. Yeah.
Dive in and unplug his battery.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Do any of you guys referee at Peach State?
Oh, shit. We're on the same page tonight, buddy.
I don't know if anyone here does.
No, I don't.
I have not been there yet, no.
No, we need Stan Robinson.
Yeah. Well, we'll have
yeah.
We'll have to do a part two of the referee show at some point. Because I'm sure those guys have some stories.
Do they ever?
Yes. Stan usually has some, yes.
Well, guys, we have to take a quick commercial break. And since we're kind of in a lull, I think this is a good time to do it. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
All right.
Cool. Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Tempe's of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hinkins, Larry Goodman from GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, and our guests tonight are all referees. We've got Dee Byers, Duke Corey, the 2011 Referee of the Year, Dustin Robinson, and Ken Wallace. Welcome back, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kind of moving on from where we were talking about a minute ago, I guess I was curious if there are certain wrestlers that you, any of you, look forward to working with or dread working with or have any kind of anticipation in either one way or the other when you know you're going to be refereeing matches with certain guys or girls.
I always,
you don't know names. Give us a vague description. Speaking only for myself, it's not that people I look forward to or don't look forward to working with. I do think that you work with people enough times, you just start to get comfortable with certain people in the ring, you know, how they work, where they're going to do that sort of thing. And then, you know, by default, when you find out you have that person's match, you know, it's definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, I would say the only, if it's somebody on the card that I've never worked with before, I kind of say, uh-oh, what, I don't know what to expect. Because when you start doing the same people week after week, you know their spots. Like, you kind of know where to be in the ring, you know, become a second nature. Like, oh, they're going to do this, this, and this. You know, like, everyone has, like, their five moves they do, you know. So if it's somebody I've never seen or even worse, a tag team, because who knows what they're going to do, it's you know, because we don't usually have a dress rehearsal, so sometimes you're just kind of thrown out there, and it's like, I never worked with these guys before. I guess we'll see what happens. that's probably the only time I kind of go maybe a little apprehensive just because of the unknown. But there's no one really I really dislike working with. I mean, I've had people, and I'm sure the other guys have had, since we've all been told we're good referees, people tell me, hey, make sure you do my match tonight because, you know, there's A lot of places just think anyone can ref, I think. Just throw on a ref shirt and go out there. And there's a lot more to it than people realize, I think. So I think there are some wrestlers out there that respect us and know a good ref when there is a good ref. So maybe even more the flip side is certain wrestlers prefer certain refs rather than the refs maybe caring so much.
Is there anything that you consciously did to get better, or was it just strictly repetition, repetition, repetition?
I think for me, is, you know, when I first started refereeing, the way I'd watch even, like, say, you know, Monday Night Raw or whatnot, I used to not pay attention to a lot of the referees on there because you're more interested in what, you know, the wrestlers are doing. But as you start refereeing, you know, in addition to the advice you're given maybe after a match or whatnot, it's, you know, seeing what the people on TV do because they are supposed to be the best at it. I'm just trying to mimic what you can out of that.
Over time, you pick up a lot of nuances about what you're doing, and there are things that you consciously do remember to do, and just little touches that add to whatever you're doing. You know, I remember when Nick Patrick and Joe Hamilton were at RPW, they would always tell me, you know,
and that, as this is one thing I learned from them, was make sure everybody can hear you. And that really made me realize that I needed to, like, if I have to be loud and I have to be into what I'm doing, I got to stay moving. And it's, you know, it's, you know, frenetic arm motion when you're counting, you know, kind of elevating your feet off the mat when a big bump happens. It's just little stuff like that that you do consciously have to remember to do. Eventually it becomes second nature, but when you start doing it, it's one of those things you do have to remind yourself to do.
Probably because it's stuff that, as a fan, you didn't realize the refs did.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Not once.
Because they always say, you know, the best refs are the ones you don't really notice. So it's almost a almost a compliment if you're not noticed.
Yeah, and they say that it's the same way with sports. You know, the best referees and the best umpires are the ones you don't know the names of. So it definitely applies.
Is that a problem that you see, you know, from time to time, where there's a guy who's trying to make it more about himself than he should be?
More often than you'd like to admit to.
Yeah, you occasionally hear of referees who have theme music, and personally, I point and laugh at those people. But and things like that.
Go ahead.
The one, it's a quick one. The one that gets me are the refs on Facebook who have nicknames. I think that's a little overboard. Now, I have nicknames, but I definitely did not create them, and I do not endorse them. I just like to make that clear.
I can't repeat on family radio. Mostly the crowd gives me those.
What I was going to say was, almost every time we've had someone come in, like PCW, that aspires to be a ref, they already have these ideas for them to be inserted into an angle or something. Like, well, I want to be the heel referee, or like, I'm your protege, and then I turn heel and become a manager. And I was like, wait, do you want a referee, or do you want a ref, or do you want to manage? Like, pick one. Like, they think it's the segue into something else, and we want people who, you know, just ref. Now, this is from the ref who recently had a match, but I did was not my idea, and the booker kind of rolled his eyes at it and kind of let Naja book that himself, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, I'm telling people who are brand spanking new, they just show up for a practice and they start, you know, coming out with these ideas. I'm just like, you know, they go, well, I could be like a special enforcer, like Stone Cold. I'm like, but you're not Stone Cold. Like, no one knows who you are, you know? Just like, you know, they come into all these ideas, but they don't understand. It's like, it's not about that. It's not about you. It's about, you know, like Dustin was saying, like adding to the match with the, you know, arm movements, or, you know, exaggerating a bump. It's little things. It's not, you know, you becoming part of the angle or a gimmick.
Yeah. And I'll say in response to that, I know, Larry, you know, that I did a lot of stuff with Jimmy Rave when he was at Rampage, and all of that stuff didn't come from me. I mean, I just show up and I just do what I'm told to do. I don't pitch any ideas for myself. I don't try to get involved in anything. I'm certainly not against getting involved, but I don't stomp in and say, hey, you need to put me here. You know, I don't do that. I just show up and do my job, pretty much. And that's the way I think any referee that's trying to become a referee, a respected referee, you need to stay grounded and just remember the show's not about you.
So the ponytail cutting in the ring, that was nothing. You had nothing to do with that.
Mm-mm. That was not my doing.
I actually suggested that.
Well, hey guys, we have a caller. Let's see if this is someone that might have some questions.
Uh-oh.
For the referees.
Uh-oh.
Thanks for calling Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this?
Blah blah blah.
Wait a
blah,
second.
Blah,
I recognize
blah,
the number.
I can't believe my ears. I can't believe my ears. I'm sitting here and we're discussing things with people that should be seen, not heard. Leave them in the background where they belong. They don't have a voice. Who cares? See the striped shirts? Count to three. Get out of my way. Raise my hand. Why are they even talking? I have no idea. On the weekend when we had excellent wrestling, TNA in town, Shane March beat Fight Across the Desk. I dropped Chip Day on his head. You come on Saturday, Gunner shows up in Anarchy, and yes, he gets a hero's rug welcome, but gets run back out of town by the Jagged Edge and John Tempers, Jacoby Boykins, and Bro Newsome. Larry Goodman, I heard you early in the show want to know how the Jagged Edge feel. Well, I'm just fine. I'm still standing. And you, next time you see me, you make sure you ask me. I'm fine. I'm
you
still
didn't look,
standing.
You didn't look so fine Saturday night after that double clothesline. I have to tell you, you did not look at all fine.
I slipped as I was leaving the ring, which I helped them propel me over the top rope. I was on my
That's
way out of the ring anyway. Now, I don't understand what it is or why you seem to want to feel a show with a bunch of referees that, well, what are they talking for? They don't talk during the match. Don't give them a voice now. Take the platform away. Just like I said, they need to be seen, not heard. I told you, Jonathan Williams. I told you three or four times. I don't understand what the problem is. If you have a problem filling people on the show, call the Jagged Edge. You guys have a great day.
All right.
It's been
well,
another drive by brought to you by the Jagged Edge.
Oh my.
The Jagged Edge. We haven't had that in a while, and I apologize to all the referees who he may have insulted there, but
trust me, it could be worse.
Yeah.
Here's the next question: how do y'all plan to cheat Jagged Edge out of wins now? What's your plan for that?
Stay as far away from him as possible.
Probably a good idea. I don't blame you.
I'm thinking of developing a bad shoulder on like a three count, like next PWI.
Yeah.
That rotator
oh
cuff sword.
Oh my God, I can't do
up.
It. Oh. One, two, ah.
Those
rotator cuff problems.
Themselves.
There you go.
And oddly enough, it was he who called in to trash the referees, and it is he who is carrying that belt right now, very much because of what a referee decided was right or wrong.
Yeah, that's right. That was me.
Job, D.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Hang on, you had to
You're
be
in a bad predicament. You're in a bad predicament, D. There was not a whole lot you could do. No way situation.
Well, guys, we only have a few more minutes, but there's a lot of shows this weekend. There's Fall Brawl 2. There's Peach State Wrestling Alliance, PCW in Porterdale, Pro Wrestling Resurrection. So why don't you? Each of you tell us where you're going to be this weekend and maybe the next weekend.
I am going to be at Fall Brawl 2 this weekend, and next weekend we'll be right back at Rampage.
All right.
I will be at APW on in Royston, Georgia on Friday night. Then I'll also be at Fall Brawl on Saturday night, and then Sunday I'll be at Pro Wrestling Resurrection.
Duke?
Yeah, I will be this Friday at PCW/Empire show at Avondale Estates at the Academy Theater, and I think that's going to be it for me. Unless something changes.
If you are coming to Avondale Estates this week, be sure to dress nice. There will be a Contra wedding.
Oh.
Show up in there raggedy. Put on your
my.
Sunday's finest. If you've got camo, put that on. There will be a Contra wedding. And we don't know exactly how many of these shows we have left. So, again, I will tell you, if you've ever been in that building and you haven't been in a while, it's time to come home. You're having a good old-fashioned homecoming. So get down there.
Duke, that's a good point. You mentioned that you usually do the Friday shows, but Stephen Platinum already announced a few weeks ago that the Empire is putting an end to the Friday shows after Sacred Ground, I believe, right?
That is my understanding.
So,
which means the end of this month, because Sacred Ground is the last Saturday of this month.
Right. So where will that leave you? Are you going to start doing Porterdale shows or start working elsewhere?
Well, I will be at Sacred Ground, which is the last Saturday of this month. Most Saturdays, depending on my work schedule, I probably won't do the Porterdale shows, but I may see if there's another Friday show I can pick up, or maybe, you know, do a couple of the Sunday shows that are out there. I know Jennifer Sells mentioned me coming up to I ever wanted to do a PC, what is it, Pro Wrestling Resurrection?
Yeah.
They run Sundays, but we'll see. I don't know. I've thought about that. I'll just see how my schedule pans out post-September.
You might have to pick that up with D. Byers, because I think he kind of runs those
shows. Come on
shows.
Up. You want to come up? Come on up.
Come on.
We want to see you guys fight.
Oh.
I got a great idea.
That's not
going to
happen. You can forget that. I've had two different guys suggest that at two different shows, and I've told people in charge, yeah, we're not doing that.
Not so much, though.
What do you want? Have referees
not for free.
Fight each other?
Not for free.
All right. Well, I guess anybody have any other questions for the referees?
I got none.
Matt,
covered
Larry?
All the space.
No, I just want to say appreciate all you guys coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And for anybody who doubted that we could have an entertaining show with a bunch of referees, top that.
Hey, will any of you guys be working the show on the 22nd, that Jeff Foxworthy thing with John Rocker?
I haven't even heard of that.
John
Rocker?
I saw something on Facebook about that. I didn't know if that was real or not.
Yeah, I think it is. It's in Hapeville. And I don't know who's in charge of it or anything, but Jeff
Foxworthy.
Charity
event or something?
I believe so. So I was just curious if any of you guys were part of that, but it doesn't sound like it.
No, I didn't even know that was a thing. Now let's look into it.
Yeah,
it's just
John Rocker, do you need a Klan membership to get in that?
You got to have your redneck card.
You got to have a book of jokes ready.
My ex used to be in the Klan. Seriously, she showed me the membership card. I swear to God. It's a shoot, as they say.
As they say.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks to all of you for calling in. I think this was a fun show, and you guys had some interesting things to talk about. And I do think we probably should try to do another one with any of the referees we may have left out this time around. But we'll figure that out later. I would like to say next Monday is the 50th episode of Georgia Wrestling Now. And I don't know what we're doing. Matt, do you have any ideas?
We'll figure something out, Jonathan. We're two enterprising young men.
I know we'll figure it out between now and then, but
I got nothing right now. I got nothing.
All right. Well, that means it's going to be very exciting next Monday.
Yes. I'm just glad it's an actual. This is a real number. We didn't just make this up.
No, I went back and counted because everybody else is celebrating 1,000th Raw, 100th Peach State. I figured I should check and see what number we're at.
I like it.
So we're at 49 tonight. And the referees made it a great show.
For one.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up for now, but thanks again, and we'll be back next week for Georgia Wrestling Now number 50. And thanks, Larry, for helping coordinate all this.
I appreciate you letting me do it.
All right. We'll be back next Monday.
For listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.